This episode is proudly sponsored by The Helix, a new innovation district located in New Brunswick, New Jersey, the heart of the Northeast Corridor. The Helix provides a critical ecosystem for innovation by offering a range of physical environments, a vibrant community of leading innovators, and a strategic central location on the Northeast Corridor. The Helix will uniquely mix workspaces, classrooms, laboratories, venues, and collaborative environments, creating a dynamic community and setting for innovative minds. Universities, startups, Fortune 500 companies, entrepreneurs, researchers, and many others will all call the Helix home. Thus far, the Helix has assembled a community of innovative private and public organizations, such as Rutgers Health, the New Jersey Innovation Hub, RWJ Barnabas Health, Hackensack Meridian Health, universities from Ireland and Israel, and others. The Helix is where ideas will come to life. To learn more, visit helixnj.com.
NJ.com and the Star Ledger, welcome to the Rutgers Rant, your one-stop podcast for the Scarlet Knights, with your hosts, Steve Politti, and Rutgers insiders, Brian Fonseca, and Pat Lenny. Let's start chopping.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Rutgers Rant. Beautiful spring day in New Jersey. Politti, Fonseca, Lenny, how you boys doing? How you enjoying your lovely spring weather here in Jersey?
I'm having a great time. Beautiful weather outside. No spring practice to go watch. The day is all mine, and I could do whatever I'd like. So I'm going to sit in my room and stare at my computer for another 12 hours.
See, this will be the perfect day for you to stand outside in the blazing sun and watch practice. You should miss it. Do you miss it, Pat? You look like you miss it.
I miss it, absolutely. No question about it. A lot of great times, the stretch this season. Yeah, it's great.
All right. We did actually see some football, though. I didn't see it. I should say you saw it. I was not at the spring game. My niece, Emma, got married. Congratulations, Emma and Luke, who certainly do not listen to the podcast or know it exists. But mazel tov, guys. Wonderful wedding in Gloucester, Massachusetts. All right. So this is what my analysis is since I didn't see it. I'm guessing a lot of fans who couldn't make it to Piscataway on Saturday did the same thing I did, though, and they immediately looked at the numbers. And looked at the quarterback numbers and saw 58% completion for one quarterback and 50% for the other quarterback and said, you got to be kidding me. I mean, it's a spring game. I thought there'd be no one on defense is playing. I didn't see it. So you're going to have to talk me off the ledge here. But I was a little disappointed and concerned to see these numbers. Am I wrong?
Yes, definitely concerning. Absolutely, because obviously you wanted to see vast improvement in the spring and the quarterback position specifically. But at the end of the day, I think the spring game is my third one I've covered. And I thought this was like the least telling one because so many people didn't play, and it was just so hard to gauge. Obviously, the two people that did play were the important guys, the two quarterbacks, of course. But I thought Ethan Kaliakmanis, that first throw should have been intercepted. It was dropped by the defensive back Crumpler, but then he bounced back well after that. And I thought he had a decent game. Like maybe the percentages weren't great, but I thought he threw the ball well. And Gavin missed a couple throws, but I thought it was pretty indicative of how the whole spring went generally that game.
Kaliakmanis, 10 of 17 for 147 yards, two touchdowns. Gavin Wimsett, 8 of 16 for 76 yards, but also had 64 yards on the ground. I don't care about the yards on the ground in the spring game. Brian, overall, was Wimsett's numbers as bad as I'm seeing here?
Not as bad as the fact that you weren't walking around that wedding hawking the Rutgers Rant to a brand new audience. I am very disappointed.
You should be in
what you're saying that. I'm with Pat. I think every starter, or if there was any starter I'm not remembering that played, it just doesn't come to mind. It felt like every starter outside of quarterbacks didn't play. Even Benjamin Black, who was this true freshman kid we were really looking forward to, he didn't even go to the spring game because he had something called prom. He had to go to his high school prom or something.
That's like, sweet. That's
come
cute.
Come on. Hey, you skipped the spring game for prom. Come on. First, we got Ace Bailey skipping the Jordan Brand Classic, which we all know is the most important game on the All-Star circuit. And now we got Ben Black skipping the all-important spring game. Well, this generation is cooked. That's my
– You wouldn't miss your – you didn't miss your prom for anything.
I went to both proms, actually, but I also wasn't a Division I athlete. So But that might surprise a lot of people. But one thing that I was impressed with Gavin was kind of his 37-yard rushing touchdown. He like burst. Like I don't remember him. It's been a few months since we watched him play, obviously, but he really burst through and got a lot of separation from his defenders and got into the end zone. But you make a good point. That was probably the third string secondary. He kind of just ran
right by. Were they
allowed
to tackle him?
He was also down at the 5-yard line, but they gave him the touchdown.
About to say, were they allowed to tackle him? No, I mean, it's a spring game.
No. Yes, they were not allowed to tackle him. Pat could attest to this. It seemed like they were given a lot of room, a lot of liberty with the sacks. There should have been probably 7 sacks that were not called. So, yes, the running, which was Gavin's best attribute in the game, I would say, probably hard to gauge given the conditions and who they were playing. Throwing-wise, Gavin, the same issues that occurred last season kept coming back. His first throw or second throw to Gabe Winovich, a screen pass, goes right behind him. He can't catch it because it's 2 yards behind his back. He missed a couple of throws on crossing routes that were either late or behind the receiver. He overthrew every deep ball he threw. Just not encouraging signs of him as a passer. And again, I only watched one of the scrimmages, and you know, I agree with Pat. This kind of is similar to what we saw in the spring. I don't think Kalik Manis blew him away to the point where, you know, Greg had to name a starter. I do think it's fair to say that based on the spring game, Kalik Manis just looks like a more polished passer. And someone brought up this point. I think it's fair. He did have the two best offensive weapons in the game. He had KJ Duff, who really stands out as a true freshman receiver, and he had Nassim Brantley, who was the best wide receiver on the field by far. And that makes a difference. I think that's fair to bring that up. His best pass of the game was to Nassim Brantley. Nassim Brantley, I thought, was probably one of the bigger bright spots of the entire game alongside Kenny Fletcher. So that is worth mentioning. I guess my overall takeaway from the spring game is there's no real takeaway because it's, you know, like Pat said, it's really hard to take anything concrete from this game. Kalik Manis looked a little bit better as a passer, but I don't know. I don't think anything's definitive.
All right. The Greg Schiano quote about the quarterback, which I love. This is just such a great quote. I'll let you know as soon as I know. That's not true. I'll let you know when I do. Just, I love this quote. And this is again, the Schianology here. This is my analysis of everything that's going on. I'll let you know as soon as I know. He knows already. Wow. He's going to be the starting quarterback, wow. Number one. And number two, I'll let you know when I do. It's good that the answer to that question is 11:37 on August 30th when Pete Thamel tweets it. To the world before the Howard game. It's going to be Kalik Manis. I've never been more convinced of it. It'd be one of those things. Prove me wrong. Could it be him? It's going to be a situation where both quarterbacks are going to play. We're going to hear that we're going to hear that from now until the end of time. And both quarterbacks will play, but the guy who's going to take the majority of snaps and throw the majority of passes is the new guy. I just feel strongly about that. I don't think I mean, can you, either one of you, tell me I'm wrong? Put it that way.
I just think it's way too early to make that declaration. I know you're a veteran here. You've read between the lines and all that, but I think
just why is it too early?
Based off of 15 practices in the spring.
Is he going to suddenly get better? Whoops, you've seen him now for 3 years.
I'm like grumbling over here. I just think he's got a shot. Like, I bring it back to our Daniel Jones conversation. We've already written Daniel Jones off, and he can't play. And now we're writing off Gavin Wimsett that he's not going to play. So I do have some faith that Gavin has a shot to win the job in the summer when everything's on the line and it's real competition and things are a lot more, there are higher stakes.
Ryan?
So I will say that we've talked all spring about Greg being a bit jollier than usual. I thought that line was a perfect encapsulation of it. I think it was very self-aware of Greg. I think he had a little laugh with it. I thought it was my favorite Greg quote since I've been on the beat, just to kind of acknowledge that, yeah, I know some stuff I'm not going to tell you guys. What are you going to do about it, right? I thought it was a nice moment. I think Kalik Manis is in the lead. I think from what I've seen, he is probably the better quarterback. I think it kind of tracks with their, you know, college football experience. I think Kalik Manis has shown he's slightly more accurate of a passer. I don't know if he has more. I don't know if his potential is higher than Gavin. I think Gavin has better arm strength. I think he's a better athlete. And I think if he puts it all together, he could be a better quarterback than Kalik Manis. But I think Kalik Manis, as it stands, is the better quarterback. I think there is certainly a possibility of a two quarterback system. And this is me just purely speculating. This isn't anything we've seen, but I can definitely see Gavin Wimsatt playing a sort of Johnny Langan role of like a kind of ch change of pace, a guy who can run the ball. He can throw the ball too, right? Like he's a better passer than Johnny. So it'll be a little less one dimensional if they do go with that. I don't know. I don't know how successful it would be, but I certainly think that the hope is that you keep Gavin around as a reliable backup while you have him. You could utilize his strengths in a game in conjunction with Cale Kmanis. I think that would be a nice combination. And I'm kind of with Pat. I don't think they've written him off completely. I think he'll still have a chance to win the job in training camp. But I kind of am in your side, Steve, where I think they are probably leaning in one direction if I had to guess, because the evidence seems pretty, I want to say substantial, but it seems to be kind of pointing in one spot.
All right, the list of guys who didn't play in this game: Menangai, Miller, Dremel, the entire every presumed offensive line starter. Well, that explains some of the problems blocking, I guess. Longerbean, Rogers, Aaron Lewis, Wesley Bailey, Loyal, Igbinusin, Powell, Terray. That's pretty much your 12 of your 15 most important players who did play. And of the group that did play, was give me a couple standouts here that people that who saw the game would have been like, wow, that kid's good.
We mentioned Nassim Brantley already. He was the leading receiver, had a great game. He was fantastic, and he should be probably one of the two starting receivers on the outside, I think. He certainly was going to be last year before the NCAA eligibility issue popped up. So Nassim Brantley played well. I thought a couple of the tight ends played well, not just Kenny Fletcher. I thought Mike Higgins had a decent game as well at tight end. And then defensively, I thought a guy that had a nice spring, he won the most improved award, had a nice game. Al-Shaddie Salaam slotting in at like the third cornerback. And one other guy who had a nice spring in my eyes was Troy Rainey, defensive tackle, had a pretty good spring game as well. So there's a couple of names there.
Right, anybody else?
Yeah, I think KJ Duff kind of had a flash some of the stuff that we had seen earlier that earned some praise from Greg Schiano after the scrimmages. I think the wide receiver is interesting because Nassim Brantley, it could compete for a starting spot. As Pat said, with the tight end competition, I thought Kenny and Mike looked good in the spring game. More than their performance there, I think it's a good sign that entering the spring, tight end was probably the position with the most question marks. But after what they've done, the encouraging signs they've shown, I think, as I wrote this morning, that's a position you probably don't have to go into the transfer portal and reach for a prospect just to add depth. Those two guys will probably compete for starting time, and they might be able to provide more in the passing game than Johnny Langan and Sean Bowman did last year. Offensively, again, it's hard to see any standouts. Isaiah Crumpler got a couple of pass breakups. Probably should have had a pick six on Ethan Calliope-Bandis, but it's good encouraging signs to see from a kid who converted from a wide receiver in the spring. But again, just like we said with quarterbacks, tough to take any big picture takeaways from a spring game. And I think that's kind of the way Greg Schiano wanted it, right? A lot of these college coaches are doing this trend where Ole Miss didn't even have a spring game. Greg Schiano didn't play any player with any remote possibility of playing heavy snaps next season because the transfer portal doesn't close until tomorrow. And the last thing you want is a player to have a big spring game and all of a sudden his phone is blowing up with other schools saying, hey, are you considering going to the portal? We could use a defensive end or whatever. So I would not be surprised if in a year or two from now, spring games just don't exist anymore. And instead of just being a Ferris wheel in the end zone, it's a seven Ferris wheels all over the field. And it's a nice little Rutgers day for fans. I went on the Ferris wheel before anyone showed up and it was fine. Took a nice video view of the field. I wish I could watch the game a little bit from high up, but I will probably never go on that Ferris wheel ever again. Not that I have
Well,
a
why
fear of
not? Why
heights.
not? Why not?
Not that I have a fear of heights, but we went on about five loops, six loops while I was there. By the sixth loop, when they stopped me at the top to get other people out, and my booth was shaking a little bit. I was getting a little just getting a little queasy. That's all. You never know with these things. I don't know.
Getting queasy on the Ferris wheel? What
Listen, we're
are you doing?
shaking.
What's going to happen when you get on the teacups, Brian, if you can't do the Ferris wheel? I'm
Well,
not getting anywhere near the Tilt-A-Whirl if you can't do the freaking Ferris wheel.
the
Forget
teacups
it.
at least have no danger of me collapsing to my death. The teacups maybe puke a little bit, but at least I'm not going to collapse, 50 feet onto the turf of SHI Stadium, which, look, I like covering Rutgers. I like being at Rutgers. That's not where I want my last resting place to be, buried 6 feet deep in the turf of the south end zone of SHI Stadium.
You go on the Ferris wheel, Pat?
I did not. I don't really. I went on the Wonder Wheel at Coney Island once, and that was the end of my Ferris wheel experiences. I was terrified of the Wonder Wheel
How
after
old were
doing that.
you? I'm gonna say
I was like
26.
24. I was like
You're not
34
gonna
at
say
the time.
26. What a
Yeah.
disgrace the two of you are. I don't say this often enough. A Ferris wheel, for crying out. The Wonder Wheel? You were what could
Oh, I
possibly
was
happen?
terrified because they're so
Terrified.
shaky. They always feel like they're gonna collapse.
It's been up there for 100 years. It hasn't collapsed
Exactly,
yet. It's the
a
Wonder
hundred
Wheel. It's
years of
20.
if Boeing can't secure their bolts on
Oh
airplanes,
boy.
you think they're securing those bolts on the Wonder Wheel that's been just shaking on Coney Island for 100 years? I
That
don't think
was built when people built things right, the Wonder Wheel. Did you go on the
so.
Cyclone? I can't. If you can do the
Yes,
Wonder
I love
Wheel,
the cyclone. Love roller
wait,
coasters.
you were okay on the Cyclone, but not the Wonder Wheel. Oh, the two of you just got massive problems. I can't even begin to diagnose it. All
Last time
right.
you went on a Ferris wheel, huh? Big last time you were.
I don't know. Been probably took my kids out at some point. Not something it's boring. I like the high impact fun rides. Are we done with our Ferris wheel portion of the show? Okay. Moving on. Do you want to do some basketball? You don't have much basketball news. Want to just poke in there first and then do questions? I guess Jaden Jones, target for small forward. We nearly knew you, Jaden, heading off to Oklahoma. I guess that really not a surprise. No other news, it appears, portal-wise, though. Things are calming down.
Jaden Jones seemed like it was heading in this direction, especially when he left his visit without committing. Generally, especially with the transfer portal, when guys visit, you want them to say they're coming after they leave, or you have a good feeling they'll do that. He didn't. He decided he wanted to take more visits to Oklahoma and Butler, the two schools that were talking to him before he took his trip to Rutgers. Oklahoma got the first trip and they got the commitment committed this weekend. It probably makes more sense for him. It's a place where he'll have guaranteed starting minutes. Oklahoma is desperate for some guards after missing on a lot of guys in the transfer portal. Whereas at Rutgers, he was probably going to be a role guy playing 15 to 20 minutes. At Oklahoma, as it stands, he'll probably play a majority of the minutes and be one of the main guys. So good for Jaden Jones. I thought he would have fit perfectly at Rutgers and what they need, a 3-and-D guy who's a sniper. But Rutgers will continue to pursue that. I believe that's one of the two main priorities to fill the last two scholarships, a sharpshooter, because again, the only real guy you have on the roster as it stands that has proven he could hit threes is Zach Martini. You need another guy who you feel confident. You know, Acuff and Jordan Durkack, you can convince yourself are guys who could shoot a little bit better in lower usage situations. You can hope that Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper are solid shooters as freshmen. You can hope that Lathan Somerville is the best 3-point shooting center that Rutgers has had under Steve Peichel. All these things could happen, but I still think you need a bona fide 3-point sniper that's done it at the college level. Jaden Jones would fit that role, high level, high volume, 3-point shooter. And then obviously you need to get a center. That's the position everyone's talking about. We said a bit of a stir last week when I brought up my conspiracy potential no center. I do think they're going to get a center, to be clear. I think I said that last week, but just to be clear, no names yet. We shall see. The portal closes tomorrow. Is tomorrow May 1st?
It's the yes, no, Wednesday.
The portal closes May 1st, so that's Wednesday. And I think there will be some movement there because there are probably teams that are not trying to ruffle any feathers on their current roster because once the portal closes, it closes for everybody. So nobody can leave. Maybe there are teams that are saying, let's not do anything to upset the current roster and then start doing that movement May 2nd because then everyone's kind of stuck, right? So we'll see. I think that, or I hope at least that Rutgers will have its roster set by the middle of May at the latest because if this drags on to June again, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. So, we shall see, but no real substantial update at this point outside of Jane Jones saying he's going to Norman and playing in the SEC.
All right, let's dive into insider questions. A lot of football related questions. A lot of you guys are apparently at the game enjoying the lovely Piscataway spring. The quarterback questions, we got a bunch of them. Greg Schiano has used multiple quarterbacks in the past. Is it possible we will see a two-headed monster at the position? Yes, a million times. Yes. That's the easy one. Mike follows up with a question a little bit more detailed on that one. It appears that Gavin has not improved his throwing accuracy. Just guessing, but if he has dropped the second string, then when will he come into the game? Or Rutgers has solid running backs, therefore I do not think they need his running skills. Again, just guessing way in advance, but he might be in the portal next year. All speculation. I think there's still a place for him in some change of pace roles if he's Certainly, they've done it in the past with quarterbacks. What do you guys think? I mean, is it if he's second string, he's not in, or do you think there's a way that you could give him a series, give him some third down plays, change of pace on second down sometimes? What do you think?
Experience the Heldrich Hotel, a luxury hotel that's perfect for both the business and leisure traveler. Ideally located within minutes of Rutgers University, the Heldrich is convenient to all the action and activities at SHI Stadium, Jersey Mike's Arena, and the Rutgers University campus. The moment you walk through the doors of the Heldrich Hotel and Conference Center, you know you're someplace different. A place with an independent spirit and a boutique vibe. A place where you can immerse yourself in your meeting or event as easily as you can the local culture. Located in the heart of the city, the Heldrich lets you experience all that New Brunswick has to offer. Whether you're coming to New Brunswick for a fun weekend with friends, in town for a Scarlet Knights game, or attending a business meeting, book your accommodations today at theheldrich.com.
I think he does the read option so well, and people forget that was a big part of why Kyle Manunga had such a great season. Like that was a legitimate factor in the running game. Gavin's great at the read option. So I do think that there's at least some package if in this scenario that he is second string, which I'm not going to yet, that there will be opportunities for him. And also just to do other things out of it. He has great arm strength. He can throw the ball downfield. So I think there are a lot of things you can utilize him for. So I don't think it's going to be he sits on the bench. I highly doubt that.
And Kelly McManus is not – he's not Dan Fouts either, Brian. It's not like, not like you've got a guy who's going to come in and just be – he established. Why pull Dan Fouts out of nowhere? It's not gonna. It's your first quarterback that popped in my head. I'm trying to come up with a great quarterback. I immediately went to Dan. Of course, I did. It's not like he's Dan Fouts. You're gonna be. I mean, I think there's a chance that he will play just because you have another option. And Kelly Mattis might struggle. I think you're gonna see him. So,
look, I'm not trying to be mean here. I've never heard or seen Dan Fouts. I don't know what kind of reference. Are you saying he's not a mobile quarterback? Are you saying he's not an elite?
I'm saying he's not just a great, some excellent Hall of Fame level passer, is what I'm trying to say. Like, it's not like you're, well, we can't take Kyle McManus out of the game. You know, I mean, we're not, you know, he's still a serviceable quarterback, right?
Sure. You know what I'm saying? Sure. I think there are a couple of factors here. One, Sean Gleason is no longer the offensive coordinator. So the trickeration, it might not be as big a factor as it would have been 2 or 3 years ago with the Johnny Langan package. Two, I don't think they would say this to Gavin now because I do think they want to view the competition as alive, and I think it is. Again, but I think keeping him engaged by potentially having a package for him would keep him engaged as the backup quarterback and keep him believing that maybe he could win the job over Kelly McManus if he does struggle early, just to kind of keep his hope alive, because going from a starting quarterback to the backup probably is a bit of a mental shift if it happens. So you want to kind of, you know, manage that as well. I don't know. I again, this is all speculation. We have not seen any of these packages or whatever in the spring, right? I don't want people to kind of take that and run with it that we're talking about it. But I think it's certainly possible. I think that would probably be the best route to go. And I think Kelly McManus is a better quarterback than Gavin Wimsett. I think I just think it's the evidence from last season, the evidence that we saw in the spring game. I just think it's hard for me not to say that. I think you're right. I don't think he's Caleb Williams infinitely better than Gavin Wimsett, but I think he's better. And I just don't, if I know Greg Schiano, I don't think he wants to have a quarterback competition. I know he's changed quarterbacks in the past. I know we talked about this last year, but the fact that he stuck by Gavin last year, the whole season, despite immense struggles, tells me that he'll probably do the same with Kelly McManus. Because if he does go back to Gavin, that probably is more of an indictment on Evan Sutton, who did not win the Templeston job, by the way, that it would be an endorsement of Gavin Wimsett last year. So I think we need to see a lot bigger sample size in training camp before we know definitively, but I certainly think that a package is a possibility.
I figured out where Dan Fouts came from, by the way. So there's a question from another reader that planted in my head. For the pod, at the ball is the program, are we really going to go to an Air Coryell type attack? Steve, you might have to explain that to the guy. Don Coryell, the great San Diego Chargers offensive coordinator, father of the modern pass game. Pat, you're nodding your head like this is not a reference that goes over your head.
It's so appropriate though. This is fantastic because we didn't bring it up yet. If you watched the broadcast of the spring game, Dom Savino interviewed Greg Schiano before it started. He said, "What are you most excited for?" And he said, I'm really excited to see Air Sharaka."
Well, there you go.
So that is a perfect correlation. Aaron Sciarocca.
We'll go elaborate on that because clearly
So
they were going to
then,
throw more than they'd
in
usually
the
throw.
presser, in the press conference, I asked him, like, are you guys going to put more emphasis on throwing the ball downfield? Was this a preview of things to come? And he actually laughed, and it was hilarious. Like we're saying, jovial Sciano, happy
Jovial,
day,
happy Greg.
very happy. And he was like, no, we threw the ball a lot so people didn't get hurt. That was the only reason. Yeah, that's good. That's a good answer. All right.
Good answer. Funny. So yeah, I still think this is going to be 60-40 running the ball, fellas. If Greg has it his way, and he will have it his way. So Aaron, I love that though. Dan Fouts getting some Chargers. It's like a Chargers podcast all of a sudden. All right, moving along. Fred V wants to know, you guys always hit us with what we've learned this spring. How about something we learned that really surprised us? Is anything during the course of spring practice qualify as a really surprised level development?
I got one,
Okay.
and I think we talked about it on a previous pod that Chiano was already open to his five stars on the offensive line. He had a good idea of that already. I thought that was a little surprising. So that would be my because he keeps saying that there's a great competition on the right side of the line as well. So he's talking, double talk there for sure.
Right. The left side is set. The real competition is just Sutton versus Needham. Is that the
Right,
entirety? Right. Yeah.
right,
And
right,
right
and
guard too, Kobe Asamoah was named the most improved player in on the offense, which is a good sign. Holland Pierce 3 years ago was named the most improved offensive player, and then he immediately followed it by dominating the left tackle spot, becoming the starter there. You kind of hope for the same trajectory, but I don't think it's settled by any stretch of the imagination. And I think it's clear that the first or second offer Rutgers made out of this transfer portal window was to a right tackle out of Colorado. He, Savion Washington, eventually committed to Syracuse. And it's a tough spot because A, in this window, there are a lot less players than there are in the winter window. B, all the good players that enter in this point are more valued, similar to the grad transfer idea last year in basketball. And B, at this point, I'm not sure it's worth adding a body just to add a body, especially if you feel like you have two guys with starting experience in Reggie Sutton and Tyler Needham at right tackle, and you have a guy you probably feel good about in Kobe Asamoah at right guard. So let's take a guess. Pat, you can take a guess here too. Of those five that Shadow had in mind, I think it's pretty clear that Holland Pierce is left tackle, Brian Felter's left guard, Gus Zielinskis is center. I think Kobe Asamoah being named the most improved player tells me he's probably slotted in at right guard. And then right tackle, I think, is the most interesting battle. I think Reggie Sutton is probably ahead as the incumbent, but I would not be surprised to see Tyler Needham overtake him in training camp. What do you say?
I totally agree, but I also agree that Sutton has the slight edge now over Needham.
All right, some more personnel questions. I didn't see much about Ian Strong. I thought he was the best receiver on the team by the end of last year. Is he still in the mix? Quickly.
Yeah, great question. Ian Strong was a little dinged up, so he wasn't on the field as much as some of the other receivers. All indications he'll be fine and definitely right in the mix. I brought this up to a couple other quarterbacks. Like they're to me like six guys that are emerging as capable starters at receiver, and sorting out who it's going to be is going to be a big deal in training camp. So that'll be one of the big storylines.
Just need
Need
two,
one? Yeah,
one, maybe
I know.
one.
I know. That's
And they're just interesting.
biggest thing holding this team back, and quarterback and receiver, right? Like it goes the passing game just has to they need that. They need that guy. They need, they haven't had a guy. I had pulled out this stat. They haven't had a 600-yard receiver since Bo Melton. 600 yards. That's crazy.
That is crazy. That's not good. All right, Rocco wants to know, do you know what Chiano is going to do about a punter? I think we certainly need a good one, he said. I think we're gonna have breaking punting news here soon. By the time Brian makes the 800 edits necessary to publish this pod, we should have a punter, right? Who's the punter?
Jacob Anderson, another Australian.
Oh,
So it'll be the
good
third,
bloke.
someone from down under. He's trained with Pro Kick Australia, played Aussie rules football, but he will be signing as a member of the class of 2024. So he'll have 4 years of eligibility. So should continue the Aussie tradition.
Familiar with Adam Corsack, believe we're down with him in Australia. And I think Rutgers fans will be rejoiced with this news because, strangely, I think we had two or three texts of people saying, like, we need a punter. The punting is not great in the spring game, which that's a little too much minutia for me as the beat writer. Like, I think we can relax about the punter fellows.
I don't know. I agree with the texters. I'm very worried about the punting. And special teams in general. I'm worried about the kicking. We've got like 16 questions about special teams here.
Card.
Brian special K, team. Special teams are always a big factor for coach on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the best. How is special teams looking this year? I'd say right now it's about a 3.5. I have no idea.
No, right? I mean, agree.
You don't have a punter all spring.
I agree.
It would be pretty crappy for this team, the best team they've expected in a long time, to be undone by the kicking game.
It would be ironic.
Ironic. You're not worried, though.
Guys, Jay Patel had the most accurate field goal kicking season in program history last year. What are we talking about? The punting, I understand, a bit of a question mark. We haven't seen Jacob Anderson kick. But one, I'm believing in an Australian punter, sight unseen. These guys just are born to kick footballs in wonky ways. Jay Patel, to me, maybe he's not a guy with a deep kicking leg, but very accurate, obviously, by his numbers. And Austin Riggs is a grown man who was proven as a good long snapper at BYU.
Okay.
And I just...
How about the return game? You're forgetting that.
You're forgetting probably the most important part of special teams. Rutgers hasn't had a return.
Like, literally, it was a fair catch or a fumble. That was the entirety of this return game in last season.
Right. So it could only go up from here.
Who's going to return kicks? Do you have the answer? They can't possibly...
Right now, Dremel.
Christian, they can't put Dremel. They can't put your best receiver Dremel back there.
And then they were working in Al-Shadi Salam a little bit as well. And I think maybe you could see, this is a theory, not sure, the speedster Ben Black, the freshman, could be potentially. We haven't seen any kick returns yet this spring. But I think he's got, he's so fast that you might want to put him back there for kick returns.
All right. There's some options. You've talked me off the ledge about the special teams play. I can sleep tonight.
Well, one thing you might have to be worried about is Max Melton, who was the elite blocker of punts and field goals. Obviously, he's off to the NFL. Congratulations to him getting drafted in the second round. Who is the next guy that's flying off the edge and blocking kicks?
They've always found that guy, though. That's one thing I can say for certain of Greg Shannon coach teams. They're going to find someone who can block kicks. I do believe that has been consistent for 20. How long has it been? 21 years, minus a few years in between. But yeah, no, that's a good point. He is certainly excellent. He was a great kick blocker. Yeah, second round. We didn't talk about him. You were at the Melton household when he was drafted. Great. I thought he would have been a great pick for the Giants. I think the Giants got some. I don't know the kid's name, but some, 5'10" cornerback. So this thought, I'm like, come on, this is not what they need. Max Melton would have been great there. Obviously, the Cardinals get him instead, reunited with Marvin Harrison Jr., which is cute. Cute story. Take us inside the Melton household.
So to be clear, it was not the Melton household. They were at a family friend's house in Galloway.
Okay.
It was a very nice house, and I was they were very gracious enough to let me into the party. About 100 people in there. Some of his former teammates, guys like Robert Longerbeam, Tyreen Powell, Chris Long, Dimier Miller, Kyle Manungai, the list goes on. Flip Dixon, Mark Orfe, his quarterback's coach, was also there. And kind of everyone was packed out wearing all black upon Max Melton's request, myself included. I followed dress code. And they had an ice sculpture. They had a nice display, a nice painting, just really all well done party. And you think you enter the day that he's going to get drafted on Friday. You're not sure if it's going to be early second, mid third. You're kind of in the anticipation there. And everyone's sitting around the living room TV watching. And Max Melton, at about 50 minutes into the show, gets a call. Everyone quiets down. He leaves to go to the dining room where he had a table with a hat from all 32 teams. Everyone represented. He grabs a hat, puts it inside his jacket, and goes to sit down. And then the pick is in for the Arizona Cardinals. Everyone kind of figures out that's where it's going to happen. And then the longest commercial break of all time, legitimately 8, back to back to back. Every single one that happens, the groans get louder. Just, I wish I recorded it so I could put it in my story. I didn't want to butcher the quote, but Arby's comes on. They're the fourth commercial. Obviously, their slogan is, "We have the meats." And some guy screams out, "We got the meats. We got the meats. Move on." And everyone's kind of growing restless. And finally, the Cardinals come out. The guy on the podium says, "Where are my Arizona Cardinals fans at?" Someone in the crowd screams, "They're all in Jersey right now." And obviously, they call Max Melton's name. The place erupts. Like, I don't think the video did justice. It was very, very loud in there. Everyone's happy for Max. Bo Melton's fired up. And then we interview him on the side, and he's talking about playing with Marvin Harrison. Kind of winks at us and says, "I think I did pretty good against him the last couple of years." Yeah. They tweet at each other. It's all nice. Bo Melton's kind of beaming and happy. They inform Bo that they're going to play each other at Lambeau Field next year We asked Gary Melton, their father, does he plan on having the half-half jersey? Obviously, that's been very popular among parents watching their sons play each other. And Gary Melton said, nah, that's overdone. Everyone does that. I got a plan in mind, but I'm not going to tell you. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what the Meltons are cooking up for that, because if it's as creative and as fun as the party they had for when Max was drafted, it's going to be an absolute riot whenever they put Lambeau. So just a great night for Rutgers, a great night for the Meltons, a great family. I think everyone is happy for them that follows Rutgers. And I'm looking forward to seeing those two guys match up, like I said, at Lambeau Field next year.
Outstanding. That's good stuff. All right. I think that's all. It was all for the draft, right? No one else. Oh, some free agents, though. That was some decent names, surprising names too, free agent wise. Deion Jennings got Ravens, right?
Deion Jennings got Ravens, as did Isaiah Washington. So those two guys are going to match up at the Ravens. Sean Ryan, who also was on the Ravens practice squad last year, is on the team. So three Rutgers guys there.
Gotcha.
Local angle, Jude McAdamey, speaking of kicking issues, he got signed with the Giants this morning. So good for the local team. Isaiah Ayton got signed with the Tennessee Titans with a decent signing bonus. I think it was $20,000, which is not always the case with undrafted free agents. So they probably feel good about him. Jaquay Jackson's going to Atlanta. And Sean Bowman, tight end, is going to Jacksonville. So those are
Okay.
the names we got. And then rookie tight ends, sorry, rookie mini camps. Maya Nahanatu, this is a nice story. His father played for Tampa Bay for years. He's going to rookie mini camp in Tampa. His father was
Nice.
beaming with pride on Twitter when he announced the news. A solid day for Rutgers in the NFL draft. Max Mellon was the fourth highest pick in the modern era. Only Anthony Davis, Devin McCourty, and Kenny Britt, the three first rounders, were ahead of him.
Okay.
Drafted higher than Kamoko Touré, Brian Leonard, who
Ray
was
Rice? They're hiring Ray Rice?
correct. So, yeah, look, a high spot for Mac Melton. I think the scouts feel really good about what he could do in the NFL. And I thought it was interesting. He was the fourth of a run of four straight cornerbacks. There were four straight cornerbacks picked. He was the last one of that group. I asked Gary about that because he knows his son better than anybody. And he says that Max is going to have that in his head. And he's going to want to prove them all wrong. Should be fun to watch that journey.
Excellent. All right. That's all the questions we really have. A few more that we missed, but we'll get to you eventually, I promise. Anything else going on?
So really quick, from leading into the Max Melton party, Rutgers got a 2025 commit out of Atlantic City. I'm not even going to try to say his name. I apologize. We'll have some time to learn it. But I ran into Mike McGarry, a longtime Press of Atlantic City writer at the party.
South
He was
Jersey
telling me,
sports writing legend. Absolutely.
there you go. Met him, and he is apparently a big fan of the Rutgers rant.
Really?
He made
Wow.
sure to tell me. He made sure to show me on his podcasting app. I told him I'd give him a shout out on the pod. I promised it, Mike. Thanks for listening. Awesome to meet you, man. And he had a lot of nice things to say about this Rutgers commit, who he's watched a lot, obviously, being in the Atlantic City area. And he compared him to Lazier Brooks, who, kid in Millville, really, really highly rated player, has a lot of blue bloods around him, and was a big, big prospect as early as his freshman year. He said that the kid that committed to Rutgers is pretty close in level to him from what he's seen. I think the Brooks kid has a lot more potential, obviously, given his rating, but I think that's an encouraging sign when I heard that to think that Rutgers is getting a pretty solid kid with a lot of upside at wide receiver, which is a position, as we've discussed ad nauseum in this podcast, that Rutgers could always use help in. So, yeah, encouraging signs for that addition. And again, always nice to meet another listener, especially when, like you said, legendary sports writer in our scene. Thanks for listening. And he liked Boomer Zoomer, by the way, so we might have to bring it back next year.
Wow, good stuff. All
I
right.
got to jump in there because Lazier Brooks is going to break the state receiving record this year. He's going to finish with the most receiving yards, touchdowns, and he's also going to Alabama. So let's not get too far ahead of ourselves.
Good
Trust
context
Mike
there.
McGarry though, for sure. Great report.
Report. Lots, you got a lot out of Atlantic City. It was a good trip. Did you stop at the casinos while you're down there?
Unfortunately, it was too long of a trip to get back, and we had the
Boo.
spring game the next day. If it wasn't,
Okay.
it's probably for the
Blah, blah,
best.
blah.
I'm not
Yes.
sure how many hundreds of dollars I could have expensed on the craps table or on the poker table. Oh, I could have snuck in a night at the Borgata if I really wanted to, but I thought I'd be responsible.
Right. Anything else? Baseball season over yet? Softball, are they still playing these sports? Lacrosse is done, right? We can cross that off the list.
Men's lacrosse is done. Men's lacrosse lost to Penn State,
Right.
lost in the
It's
Big Ten tournament quarterfinals. They're done.
over. Right.
Women's lacrosse kept their season alive. They entered the weekend all time 1-26 against Maryland, upset the Terps in the quarterfinals of
Wow.
the Big Ten tournament. They will play Penn State in the semifinals on Wednesday in Evanston. Who knows? Win the next two, you make it to the NCAA tournament. It's a heck of a run for Melissa Lemon's team, but I would not bet on that. Baseball,
Swept at Indiana.
sorry to say, got absolutely rocked in one game. I believe the score was 18-6. Right, Pat? Does that sound right?
Sounds right. Yeah.
Softball, I believe, lost the series to Michigan State this weekend. Not in great shape. Probably both need to win the Big Ten tournament, similar to lacrosse, to make the NCAA tournament. But a lot of good stuff out of Penn Relays. Pat, follow that closer than I do.
Penn Relays, yeah, absolutely. An Olympic trials qualifier, Chloe Timberg. Steve, so you might got to put that on
really?
Your list. She like jumped 15-1 in pole vault to hit the Olympic standard, so she'll be going to the trials.
Oh,
that
she's
also
got to
set
do
the
it.
Penn Relays record, which is
nice.
Crazy. So.
Does she have a shot to qualify? Is that a qualifying?
Great question. I'm not. I don't. Yeah. I can't say I'm privy to the American pole vaulters at the moment, but
isn't it Ashani?
She's having a great season. There's no
Randall
question.
Cunningham's daughter, the pole vaulter.
No, she's
or
a
is
high
she a high jumper.
Jumper.
She's a high jumper.
Yeah,
I knew
yeah.
I had one of the two.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll know this before I get to Paris. Unlikely.
But yeah,
I'm
really,
sorry.
Really good performances at the Penn Relays. Outside of Chloe Timberg, the distance medley, I think, broke a school record. And sprint medley with Alex Carlson running the 800 as the final leg.
You're both smiling because you know what's coming with this. That's with Alex Carlson. We've talked about Alex Carlson on this show for four straight weeks. I have to log on the internet and I see a competitor, good friend, but still competitor, Jerry Carino, gets interviews Alex Carlson before either one of you jerks could interview Alex Carlson. I just don't understand. Well, we could have had her on the show.
Jerry's been going to the Penn Relays for over 20 years.
You know our interest.
He's there.
The show, no one's more interested in Alex Carlson than we are. And just
Jerry,
because Jerry, I mean, I don't know.
That was a tough beat. That was a bad beat.
I'm a little disappointed. I'm just a little disappointed.
In fairness, Jerry Carino was a former track athlete himself, collegiately, ran at Seton Hall. Maybe they have a little bit of a college athlete kinship there that neither Pat and I could match. How about that?
Okay. Still doesn't.
Two more track shout outs. Sorry. It was the men's distance medley, broke school record. 45 years, it was 45 years old, so pretty significant there. And
wow.
Sincere Robinson, who tremendous high school story, won the long jump. So he was second to his teammate last year or 2 years ago, and he won it this year. So good stuff from the track team. It's been a solid spring for sure.
What are the odds that Alex Carlson has listened to any of this? Do you think there's some friend who's like, you know, this is weird podcast, and they talk about you every episode. Have you listened to this? Like, do you think there's a friend of? I don't think so. She's blissfully unaware.
I hope so.
We have to like do something like an annual Alex Carlson or Memorial Award, where like the most obscure.
You do our end of the year awards on a podcast, right? I mean, she should
it's
be
true.
In the running for something.
All right. That's good. Oh, good. All right. So that's something you guys can look forward to. Eventually, here in the coming weeks, we'll have an end of the year awards, and there'll be a memorial. Maybe we should name him an award after Alex Carlson. It's a good idea. All right. I'm gonna get to work on that. I think that's a good place to stop. Something for you guys to look forward to. I do not know when we record the next show, but it'll be sometime next month. Until then, thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Rutgers Rant. To participate in the conversation and receive live updates about the Scarlet Knights directly to your phone, sign up at nj.com/insider.